Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this Christmas Eve prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, in preparation for this Christmas Eve, we've been engaged in a sermon series here at Epworth entitled Christmas at the Movies. And what we've been doing over the month of December is taking a look at some of our favorite Christmas movies, looking at them in maybe a way we've never looked before. Looked at them through the lens, not 3D lens, but look at these movies from the lens of faith. And this series springs from an assumption that God's fingerprints can be found all over the place, that God reveals God's self in ways that are outside of the expected mediums. We expect God to show up. So we've looked at these movies asking, where does God make appearance? These movies, most of them, are not religious, but make no mistake, they're spiritual. In each of these movies, there are more than one invitation extended when you look at them through the lens of faith. Invitations to change your perspective, to see yourself differently, to see other people differently. There's an invitation to a manner of life, a change of life, that brings us in deeper connection with the Holy. So over this month of December, we have looked with eyes of faith at such favorite holiday classics as It's a Wonderful Life, Polar Express, Home Alone, The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And tonight, the finale of Christmas at the Movies, our feature for Christmas Eve, A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story. Now, right off the bat, someone's asking themselves, I know this movie. Doug, where in the heck do you see God in A Christmas Story? And that's a legitimate question. This story makes no mention of God overtly. There are no scenes filmed in any church sanctuaries. There are no nativities on anyone's lawn. And I've seen this probably 80 times, but I don't think the name Jesus is evoked at all in the movie A Christmas Story. Yet, if you go looking for God, if you have an understanding that God is so expansive, that God's fingerprints are all over creation, all over culture, all over every medium of human expression. If your God is that big, you can't miss God in a story like A Christmas Story. God does make appearance, I would argue, in this story about a working class family in a Midwest city. God makes appearance in this story containing a grumpy department store Santa Claus and his band of impatient elves. He makes appearance. God makes appearance, even in this story with its unforgettable icon, a lamp. A lamp that's become a cultural icon for us for this season. Now, most of us know, if you've seen A Christmas Story, but let me just get a poll of the house. How many of you have seen A Christmas Story? Okay, most of you have seen it. You know the star of the story is Ralphie. And we know something about Ralphie, do we not? Because there's a little bit of Ralphie in all of us. And what drives this story, A Christmas Story, is that we follow Ralphie on a series of quests that he makes. That's what drives this story. He's on a quest, or arguably quests. Here are some of the quests that little Ralphie is on, 8-year-old Ralphie. First, he is on a quest to avoid having to put on those horrific pajamas made by an out-of-town aunt that makes him look like a nightmare of an Easter bunny. That's one of his quests, not have to wear those PJs. Another quest for little Ralphie is to avoid the neighborhood bullies as he makes his way home each day from school, him and his brother. That's one of his quests. And overall, daily, Ralphie got up, and this was his basic quest, simply keep his head down and avoid trouble, trouble that he could never avoid, staying out of trouble. That was, those were some of the quests that Ralphie was on in this story. And you know, when you think about it, all of those quests were really about fear and avoidance. And if we own that there's a little bit of Ralphie in you and me, maybe when we think about our own quests, what's driving our lives at this moment, perhaps we're not living the life we're intended to live. Because so many of our quests are journeys of avoidance. They're quests seeking to keep our head down and simply stay out of trouble, just like Ralphie. But there is one quest that defines Ralphie, that drives this entire story. He has a passion. He has a dream. He dreams about it at night. It's the Christmas gift that he wants so bad. And you know what that gift is? It is a Red Ryder BB gun. That is his quest. That is his focus. That is Ralphie's drive. Well, Ralphie is the story or the star of the movie A Christmas Story. But I would argue that we see ourselves in Ralphie. We don't necessarily see the Holy. But instead, it's a bit player, a supporting cast member where God shows up. And I would make the argument that if you're looking for God in A Christmas Story, you find him in Victor Parker, Mr. Parker, Ralphie's dad, or as he's referred to by the narrator in this movie, simply the old man, the old man. Now, someone should push back at this point. Doug, are you serious? You see God in the old man in the Christmas story? Well, I understand. I understand your protest. Along with being the fiercest furnace fighter in northern Indiana, the old man can be described as obsessive, obsessed. He's obsessed over that grand prize that he won, that lamp that he proudly displays in the living room. Do you remember how angry he got when that lamp inadvertently fell down, breaking into 100 pieces? Do you remember his obsession to try to resurrect that lamp using some Elmer's glue? Do you remember that sad walk with his hands full of plastic shards when he has to place the grand prize back into the wood crate, the crate labeled Fragile? You find God in the old man? I can see why you're protesting. The old man was not much of a neighbor, was he? Especially in relationship to the Bumpuses. He was constantly at war with his neighbor because of his unruly hounds, the ones who ate his cherished Christmas turkey. The old man possessed certainly an authoritarian style in that home. He was the disciplinarian. Matter of fact, Ralphie simply every day tried to avoid disappointing the old man. And finally, what was the old man's relationship to Ralphie's dream, to Ralphie's quest for that BB gun? Well, when you're through 80% of the movie, it seems that the old man was indifferent to his son's passion, his son's quest. Or it might be argued he was plotting with the other grown-ups to make sure that Ralphie never got the gift that he wanted. That's the old man described in short form in A Christmas Story. A shorter form would simply be hard, really hard. That's Ralphie's dad. But you know, unfortunately, for many good people who consider themselves very, very spiritual but not necessarily religious, for many good people in our families, people in our neighborhoods, this community, a lot of folks sitting in this sanctuary tonight, somewhere along the way, they've drawn a line between the old man, at least in the first part of the movie, and their picture of who God is. For many people, when they hear the word God, it's a turnoff because God seems to be obsessed. Obsessed with tight theological systems, obsessed with orthodoxy rather than orthopraxy. Those are 25-cent words. Right belief versus right practice, meaning simply living a life of compassion. This God that we hear about that's presented in so many distorted fashions, unfortunately. This God seems to be so concerned with metaphysical realities that this God seems detached from our world tonight. A world where we still struggle with war, injustice, exclusion, and poverty. No wonder when some people hear the word God, it's a turnoff, if that's the picture. Some people, when they hear the word God, they think of one like the old man who is not very neighborly at all, not very caring for even our faithful neighbors who may possess a different religious identity or no religious identity at all. God is often presented as tribal. God is selective in who God will love and favor. And isn't it ironic that when this God is presented this way, it's always God is favoring our tribe over somebody else's. And finally, sadly, many people, when they conceive of God, they conceive a God who is indifferent at best to their personal quests for joy in life. Or at worst, God is standing as an obstacle on a brave quest toward self-fulfillment. But then, the most touching part of this movie, the surprise scene when we are called to throw away everything we thought we knew about the old man. Let's take a look.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, did you get everything you wanted?
Almost.
Almost, huh? Well, that's life. Well, there's always next Christmas.
Yep.
Hey, that's funny. What's that over there behind the desk?
Where?
Oh, behind the desk, against the wall over there. Why don't you go check it out? Come on. Santa Claus probably brought it. Do you not love it?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's right. Careful. Oh, they run all over. Close it up. Close it up.
Can I try it out, Ma? Can I?
Okay, but outside. Oh, I still say those things are dangerous.
No, put on your galoshes and your coat. It's cold out.
I had one when I was 8 years old.
What if he hurts himself? Mommy, your coat! Don't shoot any animals or birds.
Except the Bumpus' dogs.
Did you see Ralphie's dad's face? Is that a hard man? Or is that a man with a heart, a dad with a heart? Friends, that moment turns upside down everything we thought we knew about the old man. And tonight, it is my hope, and it's really my prayer, that if you've walked into this space tonight with a distorted picture of who God is, that tonight that picture will be turned right. Our God is not obsessed about small matters that in the end don't make much of a difference. Our God is not about excluding, his agenda is including. Our God is not indifferent to your quests, particularly to the quests that you have in your life toward more hope, more peace, more joy, more love in your life in this world. And in a moment, we're about to open the very best gift this God who is for us, never against us, the best gift that he has to offer. And that's the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as you hold that candle and as you sing Silent Night tonight, look at God's face, rejoicing in your happiness. He's given us Jesus. Jesus, who taught us, who modeled for us, who offered signs. Jesus, who gave us the picture of who God is. A God who shares our joys, shares our journeys, is in process with us in our journeys, and more than that. A God whose heart for you is wider than the universe. And you are loved. And you are accepted. And that's the best gift of Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thanks be to God.